John Walden here. In our studies in 1 John, we have reached 1 John chapter 2 and the third verse. Hereby do we know that we know him, the Lord Jesus, if we keep his commandments. Now, commandments in the New Testament are not the Ten Commandments. He very plainly states a little later on in this book that this is his commandment, that we believe on the name of the Son of God, and that we love one another. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Galatians tells us we are not under the law now, but under grace. And so when we think of his commandments, we think of what the Lord Jesus himself told us that he wanted us to do, and this is a proof that we belong to him. Now, if you do not love to do the things that the Lord Jesus wants you to do, the chances are you have never really received him. But you say, I find that I have another nature within me. Yes, this is exactly what the Bible tells us. Galatians chapter 5 tells us that we have two natures. The old nature still wants to do its own will, but the new nature wants to please him. And God has put his life in us. Now, because we have life, it is not I, Galatians 2:20 says, it is not I, but Christ that lives in me. So the life of God within us is the power for living to please him. God's Holy Spirit came to indwell us when we received Christ. Now, these are some very searching tests of life. Lawlessness goes with the natural man. This is what happened when Satan fell. This is what happened in the Garden of Eden, when man took his own way. And at conversion, there's a reversal of this. That is, when you receive Christ as your Savior, you are bowing to his will. You must confess Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord in order to be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And if you have really received Christ, this lawless life of yours in the past should give way to obedience. Now, that's the first test of life here in this section. Obedience proves that we love the Lord. Obedience is not part of our salvation. Obedience is the proof that salvation has taken place. You know, when Paul was stricken down on the road to Damascus, the first thing he said was, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now, obedience begins with what's called the obedience of faith in Romans 16:26. Actually, you are obeying God when you receive Christ. And then it continues all through life. The first step of obedience for a Christian, for instance, is baptism. Some of you have not bowed to the Lord's word and his command for baptism. Some of you have not taken other steps of obedience. Now, Adam was tested on this matter of obedience, and he fell. The Lord Jesus Christ was tested. He obeyed the Father perfectly. We're told that he learned obedience, or he experienced this, through the things that he suffered, Hebrews 5 and 8. And Philippians chapter 2 tells us that he was obedient unto death. This is the universal test, we might say. Angels who sinned against God, the disobedient angels, fell. Satan himself fell. The human race fell. Now, there's no salvation for Satan and angels, but there is for us. And when you have bowed to him, then you ought to prove that you're his child by obedience. But he goes a step further than that. And he says in verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So the second test is an advance over keeping his commandments. This is just keeping his word. That is, seeking his will. This proves that you are mature. You don't have to be told everything. Some people say, but where in the Bible does it say I can't do this or that? But this is like a self-willed, petulant baby child. If you really know the Lord, you should be seeking what pleases the Lord. Not a matter whether it's forbidden or not. not a matter of taboos, it's a matter of pleasing him. Would this please the Lord? Would this show him that I love him? And this is exactly what every Christian wants to do. And so he says, hereby know we that we are in him. In Christ means to be safe in Christ. It means to be joined to him. It means to be a child of God in his right and worth. And it means to be a part of his own body. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Now this will be the result of our abiding in Christ, keeping in close fellowship with him. If you make him the home of your soul, as William Kelly wrote, to make him the home of my soul forever, for every joy and sorrow, for every danger and difficulty. Make him your home. Keep in close touch with him. Now this will result in our walking as he walked, not in the same measure, of course, but in the same manner. It'll be his life lived out through me. You see, when God saved us, he put his own nature within us. He put his Holy Spirit within us. We have eternal life, and this eternal life shows itself in obedience to God and in seeking to please the Lord day by day. So eternal life is the spring of not only obedience, but of love. And so verse 7, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. That is what the Lord Jesus told them when he began to walk with them and teach them, love one another. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. The old commandment is the new commandment. It's old because the Lord Jesus gave it before his death. And John is writing about it some 60 years later. But it's new because it is operative now through the Holy Spirit on the basis of Christ's death and resurrection. Because the Lord Jesus died and rose again, the Holy Spirit came down, and the Holy Spirit makes this a new commandment in every believer. So it is the old commandment which the Lord Jesus gave. It is the new commandment which is now true in him and in you. It was true in him because he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Because he was God, the life of God was in him. But you see, you and I have been given the life of God, and God's Holy Spirit indwells us. So it's true not only in him, but in you, if you're a believer. Then he says, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. The Revised Version says the darkness is passing. It began to pass at conviction and at conversion. And the more you open your heart to the light of God's Word, the more the darkness will pass. This is the passing of darkness in this present time for those who are believers, but it's the gathering of darkness for those who are not believers. The awful conditions in the world today are an indication of what happens when men go on without Christ, go on in darkness. So we have the test of love. It's not only a matter of do you keep his commandments and do you want to do his will, but it's a matter of is there love in your heart? First of all, for the Lord himself. We love him because he first loved us. Love to the Father because of his great love to us. And then love to our fellow Christians. Not just the lovable ones. Not just the ones in your own particular little group. The dividing of God's people into groups is a shameful thing. The Lord never intended that there should be any divisions among Christians. Your love ought to be such that it will take in all who are truly your brothers and sisters in Christ. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, or stays in the light, makes that his home, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. You won't be a scandal. You won't be an offense. You won't be a hindrance to another Christian if you're walking in the light. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Do you know the Lord? Does it show in your life by obedience and by love to your fellow Christians? Now these two tests will be applied over and over in John's epistle. Obedience to the Lord and love to his people. Disobedience and darkness go together. hatred and darkness go together. But obedience and love belong with the light. And if you have received Christ as your Savior, you are in the light. I write unto you, little children, or dear children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. The forgiveness of sins does not depend upon our obedience. It does not depend upon our love. The forgiveness of sins is for his name's sake. Get hold of this now. Understand this once and for all. The only reason that God forgives us our sins is for his name's sake. His name is Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so he writes to us, because your sins are forgiven. He doesn't tell you how to get your sins forgiven. That is, he doesn't say that obedience and love for him will make your sins be forgiven, but rather because they are forgiven, this is the way he would like us to live for him. The Lord help us then to show by our lives that we really and truly have been forgiven. Let's thank him. Our Father, we do thank thee in the precious name of thy Son for the forgiveness of sins, for his name's sake. We thank thee for his death, burial, and resurrection in our place. Now help us, Lord, to show our love for thee and for thy people, that we may glorify thy Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.